Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to all our listeners. This is the Business Day Spotlight, your destination for African business made simple. My name is Mudiwa Gavaza, and for today, we're looking at what's going on in the fixed income market. I'm not a technical expert, but I do believe that we commonly refer to it as the bond market. And to help us to unpack what's actually going on in that market, we are joined by Victor Pampuli, who is the head of fixed income at StanLib, just to give us some insight into what's actually going on in that market, perhaps to help some of the people that actually are involved in fixed income to maybe, you know, get some insights from StanLib just around some of the themes that they are looking at. Victor, greetings to you.
Hi, how are you doing, Mudiwa?
Now we're doing all right on this end. We really thank you so much for joining us for today and, you know, sharing your time with us. I think a good place for us to start, usually we want to get a sense of the organization. Maybe you can give us some insight, because in the world of investments in South Africa, StanLib is one of those names that you usually needs no introduction. But, you know, for the one or two people that may be listening that have never heard of StanLib, maybe you could give us some insight on that end. But more specifically as well, your unit that you're heading up, you know, the type of work that you guys are doing.
Yes, yeah. Thank you very much for the opportunity to have a conversation with you and also with the public in general. So my name is Victor Pampuli. I work for StanLib Asset Management. StanLib Asset Management is a business that manages money on behalf of its clients, where we go and find investment opportunities across the board. We invest in equities, which is mainly shares that are, for example, listed in the exchange. We invest in fixed income, which is the business that I run. Also in money market for investors that are looking for low risk strategies. And we also invest in property. We also build portfolios for our clients in the balanced space, where we do the asset allocation for our clients, basically deciding whether it's a good time to be in equities or whether you should be increasing allocation into fixed income. So the business is over 600, over 600 billion rand in assets under management. So it's basically one of the largest asset management houses in South Africa. So the business that I run is fixed income, which is a component of the investment universe, and that I've talked about, where investors can choose to invest. So fixed income is, maybe if I can put it in a simple way, you know, it's basically investing in what is likely known as bonds, like an example where governments or companies would come and look to borrow money from the markets, and we would invest that the money on behalf of our clients to generate returns in future. So it's quite a large business within StanLib. We manage assets under management sitting at 260 billion rand, which is really one of the largest in South Africa by comparison to our competitors. We manage money across the board. I mean, for the ordinary man on the street, which is in the retail markets, we manage money for pension funds, also cash for corporates, and we invest in different strategies. I mean, of which the aim is to give returns, but those returns must be in line with the risk profile that the clients would assume. So our product range are money market, income funds, bond funds. We also invest in credit portfolios and inflation-linked bonds. And also, I mean, building portfolios for our clients in the income-generating space, where we decide, depending on the risk sentiments that are existing, to move up and down, you know, the risk profiles.
Can I confirm from what you've just said that just you know, doing a quick calculation in my head, then it means fixed income is making up roughly a third of, you know, all the money that's under StanLib's management, roughly?
Yes.
Okay. That's actually quite a sizable chunk. So, you know, thank you so much for that. I think what's really then, you know, important for us to maybe get a sense on now is, you know, given, you know, the different things, because one of the things you touched on just now is that you find the best way to allocate your clients' funds, you know, just so that you can give them that return. So fixed income as an asset class at the moment, how is that performing, you know, versus, you know, other things that people are investing in, whether it's the money market that you mentioned or whether it's equities? Where does fixed income actually sit in that universe right now?
Okay. So firstly, I think we want to understand the purpose of why, I mean, or the relevance for fixed income. One would need to understand the different cycles, you know, that markets would undergo. And in the recent past, I mean, we've had the COVID-19 situation in 2020, which brought in a lot of volatility, you know, in the markets, where we saw equities losing substantial values, the property space also struggling quite a lot. And those are valuations that are leading to declines, you know, in clients' portfolios or clients' welfare. So where fixed income comes in is it can be used as a diversifier in a portfolio where, because it's got low volatility, when you mix it with some of these highly volatile investments, that over time will give you good returns. But when you're having too much volatility and you introduce or increase your allocation into fixed income, one would tend to reduce that that volatility. But also, I mean, you've got investors that from a risk profile point of view, you know, would use fixed income for different purposes, including matching liabilities, for example, you know, for pension funds. So I mean, in our business unit, you know, we would also, I mean, build portfolios to make sure that investors have got cash, you know, I mean, at the end of their retirement. And it's a low risk investment where the probability of losing your money, you know, is far lower than maybe the other strategies. So where we are currently, you know, in terms of fixed income, we are at a position where we've just come out from a very difficult period. Markets have recovered. Even fixed income, which was wobbled a little bit, I mean, last year, has also recovered. Most of the governments, including South Africa, I mean, there was a huge worry, you know, that they were going to default. So clients were actually worried that they might actually lose money. You know, the situation, I mean, the situation has improved quite immensely. And as a result, I mean, we have seen bond yields start to decline. When bond yields are declining, it means the value of the investment is basically increasing. So it's been a very good 12 months, I mean, since the recovery that we saw, I mean, from the COVID-19 generated volatility.
You know, Victor, as a non-bond investor myself, I'm going to ask a question that I think the people that do look at markets, especially from the consumer point of view or the retail point of view, might ask, which is then, you know, given that low volatility that you've just highlighted now, why does it seem as if, you know, the bond market seems like voodoo to a lot of people? And when I say voodoo, I'm not saying that it's dark magic, no, but rather it seems as if it's always misunderstood, or that people don't know a lot about bonds. You know, there's always this interest or attention on things like equities, right? But we don't really know much about what's going on in the bond market. But, you know, there's a lot of money, as you said, that is flowing through the bond market. So, you know, I don't know, maybe you could help us to explain that one.
So it's a very technical asset class. But the simplest way maybe to explain it is that you buy a bond, there's a coupon that the issuer would pay you on a continuous basis. It could be 10%, meaning that maybe every year you get your 10%. And then at the end of the agreed investment period, you always get your money back. So you take this and compare it with equities where you're doing the same thing, but you're expecting to get dividends. And then at the end of the period, if the company has grown and you sell your shares, you make more money. But the risk that you assume when you buy equities is that if something goes wrong with that business, you can lose your money entirely. Whereas with fixed income, you tend to, it's more contractual, you know, meaning that the probability of losing your money is much lower than if you are invested maybe in a very risky equity investment. So, which is why I was saying it's got low volatility, because the cash flows are much more certain in comparison to, say, maybe you are in an equity business where, like last year, there was trouble, I mean, around the world, and you would have seen central banks coming and saying banks must stop paying dividends, or companies must stop basically paying dividends. With fixed income, that would hardly happen. You know, so your cash flows are largely contractual and guaranteed. Unless, of course, I mean, if the business defaults, I mean, completely, and there's no more money to be paid. So I think that's the simplest way to understand it. You know, you give your money today, you are guaranteed that you're going to get it at the end of the period. But in between, for giving your money away, you earn a coupon, I mean, to service that commitment.
So when it comes to someone like yourself, then what are the actual factors, right? And at the moment, maybe we can contextualize it with what's going on right now. You've already highlighted the impact that COVID-19 had. You know, you said there was a bit of a wobble that happened last year. So when it comes to that, what are some of the factors that actually are feeding into sentiment right now when it comes to the bond market? Is it macro themes? Is it foreign investors? Is it local investor sentiment? Is it the performance of equities versus fixed market? What's actually affecting bond yields at the moment?
So it's mostly been all the things that you've talked about. But I think the one, you know, that are out mostly, I mean, in the public space, is the recovery that we are starting to see, you know, across the world. Last year, when we entered COVID-19, the biggest worry was that most governments are probably going to default. So the threat, you know, of default has basically gone away in the short term. And also another big driver is the fact that central banks have kept, particularly developed market central banks, have kept interest rates at zero levels. And they are intending to do that for much longer in order to support economic activities. And some of the developed markets governments have also pumped fiscal liquidity, I mean, into the system. You would have heard about the $1.9 trillion that the U.S. government, I mean, pumped not so long ago. And that basically, I mean, lends support to markets, and eventually some of that money finds itself, I mean, into emerging markets and markets like South Africa. So as a result, the volatility that we saw last year when yields sold off to, I think the 10-year bond yield sold off to 12.3%, most of that is actually disappeared. And then, if anything, the liquidity that has come into the market has provided investors a great opportunity, you know, to enter the market and be able to increase the value of their portfolios. And then the other driver is inflation, which has used to be a big worry, I mean, for South Africa a few years ago. But nowadays, I mean, inflation is quite benign. It's very low. But if you look at the yields, I mean, that South African bonds offer compared to where inflation is sitting, there's a huge gap, you know, meaning that one can earn good returns even after considering for the difference in inflation. So that in itself, in simple terms, it lends a lot of support, I mean, for people that are looking to invest in bonds. Because indeed, I mean, one of the greatest variables, I mean, that drive returns in the fixed income market is inflation. And if inflation is behaving, it increases, I mean, the opportunity of making money, you know, in fixed income. And then for South Africa, of course, I mean, there are issues around budget deficit, whether the government is going to be able to contain that. What we've been seeing lately is the situation has been improving. The government has been collecting more money than it previously thought. I mean, you would have heard about the 100 billion rand from the budget this year, and then an additional 40 billion rand, I mean, that the government was able to collect. And some of the efficiencies also have been coming through the South African Revenue Service. So all those things, I mean, they go a long way in making the government to be able to repay the debt and reduce, I mean, the amount of debt that they need to borrow in the market. And it lends, I mean, huge support, you know, in the market. And as a result, longer dated bond yields, I mean, have actually started to come down, you know, substantially. As a result of the lack of supply, you know, in the market.
It really does sound like, you know, the bond market follows what's happening in the real economy, which, in the real economy, the actual factors on the ground that we're dealing with. But the other one that South Africans really, you know, pay attention to is ratings agencies and stuff like that. So I wanted to maybe get a sense from you. I remember a couple of years ago, I was at Gibbs, and there was a lady from Moody's who came to speak, and she was fascinated. This was maybe 2016 or 2017, and she was fascinated to say that South Africans seem to really care about you know, these ratings that come out from their ratings agencies, which I found quite interesting at the time. So on the ground, you know, how much, you know, do those ratings actually feed into sentiment into the bond market? I know we have things like the World Government Bond Index and stuff like that, but like on a real day-to-day level, you know, how much do those things actually affect what's going on in terms of, you know, the trading that's happened, the buying, the selling, the yield?
So, okay, firstly, we need to understand what is a rating, you know, which is basically just an opinion that is offered by an agency like Moody's, the one that you referred to, where they do analysis of the economic variables within the country to see whether they are sustainable, whether we can be able to repay our debt and all of that. And if we can't, or if we can, then they will assign a good rating. If we can't, then they will take away the good rating and assign a bad rating. A good rating means that South Africa can be able to continue to borrow money locally and in the international space at cheaper levels. But if you don't get the management of the fiscal space, you know, like the budget, you know, that Minister Chitombo, for example, presents now and then, including the politics and all sorts of things, I mean, that lead to a reading of sentiment, I mean, for the country, then you increase the chance that they can take a negative view, you know, which they have been doing ever since, I mean, the 2016, for example, that we've been talking about. They've actually been reducing the rating for South Africa substantially. We used to be investment grade. Now we are no longer investment grade. And what that meant is that on average, we are going to borrow at yields that are higher than we would have borrowed if we continued to do good things. So ratings are very important because investors use them to judge whether I've got a high probability of getting my money back if I invest in South Africa or not. So we can't ignore them. You know, that's why we are fascinated. We are fascinated with them. You know, so an example, when we had the COVID situation last year, Moody's took us from investment grade to sub-investment grade. We had investors that were or portfolio inflows or portfolio investors that were in South Africa, but they could only buy South African debt if it's investment grade. So the moment we fell below investment grade, it meant all that money that was invested in South Africa had to leave. And as it left, it created a lack of liquidity, you know, in the market. And that lack of liquidity led to bond yields blowing out, including the currency also blowing out, you know, at the same time. And so that's a classic example of if you don't get your ratings right, then you end up borrowing at 12 to 14%. But when you start getting your macroeconomic factors right, like the improvements, I mean, that we see currently, you're no longer borrowing at between 12 and 14%, but you're borrowing at between, call it maybe 7, if you're talking about the 2026 bond, and 11%, for example. So that's where ratings come in.
Now, I really like that explanation, because it really does help to link what's actually going on once again into the into the real economy, and especially the macro factors that you're talking about. That, you know, as long as things are improving, right, then, you know, that sentiment improves. People are able to borrow at those lower rates, like what you were highlighting. So at the moment, just given everything that's going on around the world, COVID-19 hasn't disappeared. It's still a factor. How important are vaccinations at the moment? Because that is something that is, it's a big drive around the world. It's not isolated to just South Africa and stuff like that. So is that something that's even being looked at?
Yeah, no. Vaccinations are very important. I mean, and we as investors analyze all those trends, I mean, that are happening in the world, including South Africa, quite closely, you know, because the more you vaccinate, the more open the economy becomes, activity then increases. So last year, when the disease or when COVID happened, we were all trying to figure out how it's going to play out. What did we do? We closed down the economies, restricted activities and all of that. And as a result, I mean, we had a quarter where our GDP fell by 50%. You know? But when we started opening the economy up and all of that, GDP started to improve. So you can imagine, if you vaccinate the population and get them to a level, to a herd immunity, you know, where you don't have to do first wave, second wave, third wave, life becomes normal. Then that means activity increases. It means the tourism sector improves. It means foreign interests, I mean, into our economy. So vaccines are, unfortunately, I mean, the biggest answer that markets need, particularly emerging markets. And this is something that has been highlighted, I mean, by the IMF at the Africa Summit, for example. I mean, that's one of the things that they actually talked about, to say, in order for Africa to emerge from the quagmire that was created by COVID-19. Of course, I mean, it's a given that we need financial support, but we need to lower the impact of the pandemic as much as possible. And once you do that, then the economy can start to improve, and then we can start talking about implementing reforms. But you can do as much reforms as you want, but if you haven't sorted out economic activity via vaccinations, most of that work might actually be derailed.
Well, one certainly hopes that we'll be able to, you know, get the vaccinations right, because it really does sound, it really does sound like, as long as we can get that economic activity to happen unencumbered, then anything that's going to help us on that front will be a good thing. But as we end off, Victor, one of the things that, you know, when it comes to the bond markets, we always talk about government bonds, but at the same time, the bond market is a source of, you know, some funding for corporates. So for me, this is a bit of a curiosity, just to understand, you know, how big of a piece is that? You know, because we always talk about the government bonds, but hardly ever the corporate ones, you know. So is it like a sliver, like 5%? Is it like half, like corporate bonds? Are they a big market in South Africa?
There are a big market in South Africa. Of course, I mean, our economy is smaller than maybe, for example, the US, you know, where it's even much bigger. So most of the corporates that you are seeing, I mean, existing today, of course, they get money by raising it through the equity markets, but they also raise money, I mean, through the bond market, in a similar way that the government comes to the markets. And the advantage for investors like ourselves is that because the risk level of corporates compared to the government is considered to be slightly higher, you know, given that the government can basically print money. I mean, they own the printing press. That slightly higher risk profile compared to government bonds means that as investors, we can be able to generate slightly, I mean, higher returns, you know, than you would on a government bond. So maybe just to put it in simple terms, if the government was borrowing at 10%, you'll probably find that for the same maturity, a corporate might actually look to borrow at 12%, meaning that the investor gets an additional 2% compared to government bonds. So corporates, they need that in order to diversify their funding, but also to create, I mean, leverage, I mean, on their balance sheet. Investors like ourselves, we need those types of investments because they give us higher returns, which is why, for example, I mean, at Stanlib, you would find that we've got portfolios that don't just invest in government bonds, but it's strategies where we can switch between government bonds to corporate bonds, to structured products, sometimes even invest in offshore markets, you know, and those strategies are referred to as a flexible income strategy. So like at Stanlib, you've got the Stanlib Flexible Income Fund, which is a fund that is basically meant to do the asset allocation for their clients. When corporates are looking good, we increase the allocation into that. And when government bonds are looking cheap compared to where, for example, inflation is, we would increase our allocation into government bonds. If there is too much risk in the system, and we think currencies could actually blow out because of volatility, then we can allocate, I mean, in the offshore market. So yes, corporates they are important for that diversification.
All right. Now, thank you so much for that. And I think it sort of helps to crystallize because, you know, once again, we always hear about what's happening with, you know, the government bonds. And that's the one that's those are the ones that are usually reported on. So at least we know, you know, someone is listening to this and is like, okay, cool. Corporate bonds, I need to explore this one further. As we end off, Victor, maybe on the last point, your outlook just for where the bond market is going and some of the factors or possible headwinds that you are keeping an eye on, you know, on the market that you're, you know, surveying.
Yeah, so we are still constructive. I'm talking about South African debt, but of course that doesn't mean that we are ignorant. I mean, of the risk, some of the risks that are emanating. I mean, particularly around inflation. I mean, you would have seen. It's the biggest topic. I mean, recently, whether all the money that has been pumped into the system in the US and other developed markets, whether that's going to lead to a lot of inflation, which will put pressure on bond yields. So some of that, I mean, we have seen playing out and it has created opportunities, but I mean, for us. But if I look at South Africa specifically, I think there are still opportunities, I mean, for investors to invest in bonds. Certainly, I mean, our yields are one of the highest in comparison to other similar markets. Even when you take out inflation, you know, on a post-inflation basis, our yields are still very competitive. So we are constructive. We think there are some small steps that the government is making, particularly around the management of the fiscal and the budget. And we are encouraged, I mean, by some of the statements, I mean, that are coming from the ministry in comparison to where we are coming from. You know, so as a result, we think the space, I mean, has improved quite slowly, but the green shoots are there. And we don't think this is an asset class that investors should ignore. and for quite some time. I mean, we have actually been advising investors to remain in the asset class, because over time we think, I mean, bond yields are going to start to trade lower, and as they trade lower, the values, I mean, would increase. And then, of course, I mean, when all these valuations are full, as portfolio managers, we would look to reduce some of the risks at some point. But for now, we love South African bonds.
We love South African bonds, and bonds are an asset class that investors should not ignore. Those are the words of Victor Pampuli, who is the head of fixed income at asset manager Stanlib, giving us some insight. And one of the things I really appreciated about this conversation is the fact that he's taken time to explain what would be a very technical sort of subject to us, and, you know, the various facets, explaining how, you know, bonds fundamentally work, you know, from the amount that you put in, the yield, also talking about maturities and the coupon that people earn, and also just explaining how the risk profile of bonds is compared to equities, the government versus corporates. And also one of the big ones was also relating what's actually going on in the broader macroeconomy with what's actually going on in the bond market. And he's ending off just by talking about some of the positives that they are seeing from the way that the government has been managing its budget. And he's also just saying that, you know, those things are feeding into a recovery that they've seen after what he described as a wobble in the bond market over the last year. So that's been it. Victor, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you very much.
This is Mudiwa's Take.
The conversation with Victor, very interesting. And once again, I really appreciate the fact that he's taken time to explain and to break down some of the components that actually make up the bond market. But perhaps one or two thoughts is, you know, firstly, just realizing, you know, how important it is to have sound macroeconomic policies, because all of that leads into the real world economy of what's actually going on the ground. The common man who's going to go and buy bread at Pick and Pay, or if you're going to fill up your car at you know, at the pump in terms of fuel, if you're going to at the moment, vaccinations are a big drive. And as you heard, that's one of the key things that's actually happening, because the more people that's vaccinated, the more that it becomes an indicator of you know, how much unencumbered economic activity can actually happen with you know, reducing the health and safety risks that actually come with some of these things. So, you know, really good on that end, but also at the same time appreciating the fact that markets don't operate in a vacuum. I think sometimes, especially with what's going on in terms of the US equities over the last year, a lot of people, at least market commentators, talking about the fact that the markets aren't always a good indicator of the economy, because the economy, you know, was in a bit of a depression, right? Which is why the government had to pump in, you know, so much stimulus into the economy, the trillions that Victor actually highlighted. But the markets were rallying, you know, in certain sectors, especially, you know, when you looked at what's actually going on with the tech stocks, right? So, but at the same time, in the South African sense, you see Victor drawing a line with the different, you know, aspects of what's actually going on the ground, and saying these are all the things that are happening on the ground, and that's how they're affecting the markets. And also at the same time, all of that then feeds into the type of ratings that the likes of Moody's, S&P and Fitch then put on the country, because that because there's a lot of foreign investors and even local investors that are investing in government debt, and they rely on all of this reporting, and that reporting once again depends on what's actually going on the ground, what the policies, and how are all of those things being executed upon. Good to hear that we are in a bit of a recovery, you know, in the markets, both on the side of equities and especially, you know, in the bond market. We'll be It would be good to get someone like Victor back in maybe 6 months to a year from now, just to hear where South Africa is and, you know, whether that volatility, that low volatility has remained. Because as he said, that is the attractiveness of the bond market, the low volatility and the fact that it's more sort of contractual based, and that your chances of losing money are less at the end of the day. But the message is clear. Good policies, let's grow the economy. And that's been it for this edition of the Business Day Spotlight. Remember that you can find our latest podcasts on Business Live. That's under the podcast Business Day Spotlight tab on Twitter with hashtag BD Spotlight. And remember that you can review and subscribe for free on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, or wherever you choose to get your pods casted. Thank you to our amazing team. Our producer is Paige Muller. I've been Mudiwa Gavaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail. And this has been another edition of the Business Day Spotlight, which is a multimedia live production. So for myself and the rest of the team, it is a good evening, good afternoon, and good morning.